Hey, this is Cap, and thank you for listening to the Cap & Company podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is Cap & Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cubs got their head kicked in last night. White Sox got their head kicked in last night. Might have figured out that their left fielder's got to be their DH. Because, whoa, Aloy does not look good in the outfield. Man. And he can hit. He can flat out rake. So maybe just admit it. Move on. Put him in the DH role. Period. You've only got a one-year deal with Edwin Encarnacion. It's not like he's lighting the world on fire. And the Cubs, they got the ever-living crap beaten out of them last night. Look, you're not going to win every game, and that's going to happen. And the Royals are a major league team, and that happens. So it is what it is. So when I do my recap every night, Danny, did you see the recap last night?
Cap, I never miss a recap.
I appreciate you greatly. And it was the fourth inning. It was 9-0. I'd had a stressful day. Yesterday was the last show of Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports Chicago. And so it was an emotionally draining day, man. A lot of good people lost their gigs this week over there that I love dearly. None more so than Tom Cooper, the great executive producer of Sports Talk Live. I truly love that man. And got emotional. So I came home. It was 9-0. I grabbed a bottle of Eagle Rare. Shout out Carmen DeFalco, who got me to buy that. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm not going to stay sober until this game ends so I can do a stupid recap on a blowout. And if they come back, I'll make a mockery of my idiocy for dialing out. And so I cut a 20 seconds of this game's over. I'm tapping out. I'm going to go drink this. And that was it. Do you like the T-shirt, Danny?
You told me to pay attention to the T-shirt. I can't tell what the T-shirt is. All you see is Maggie or Maggie or something.
It says Magic City.
Oh, you can't really tell what it is.
I bought a Magic City T-shirt.
You should have, you know, held the camera a little bit lower. Oh, really emphasize the shirt.
Maybe I'll wear it again tonight.
Yeah, I couldn't make out what it was, to be honest with you.
Magic City.
You got really emotional. I did see the goodbye on STL last night.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, you've made that show an institution here in the city.
Thank you.
The media members that got to be a part of it, the great crew, Coop, Danny Wysocki. You know, it's a congratulations to you for what you guys built there, but it's an also, you know, my condolences that it had to come to an end. And seeing you last night say goodbye and get all emotional really touched my heart. I got to be honest with you, Catman.
I appreciate that, Danny. I didn't know you had that, you know, nerve in you.
It's tough. It takes a lot out of me. I will then come back with this. I was on the show four times. You invited me on more than four times, but I was a guest on STL four times.
You were on a remote at spring training at Sox.
That's one of the four. I love that one with Chuck Garfine, my main man.
Yep.
But I felt like that should have been mentioned, like in the thanking the Coops and the Wysockis and, you know, the Kevin Cross, your boss, and the tears.
I didn't mention anyone but two people.
At some point, it should have been like, and Danny Zetterman for being here four times.
I only mentioned two people in the entire thing. And Dan Jiggets, who was the original host.
Well, of course, Jiggs deserves a mention.
But I did not. I said, if I start mentioning, I like that guy, and I like that and that gal. I'm gonna forget someone, and then I'm gonna be a real jag. So, all I said was about Coop and Danny Wysocki. Those two are family to me. I adore them, and I will miss. Just to pull back the curtain, so when the show would start, Coop would be in my ear along with Terry Cortez, Lou Melgarejo, Matt Ellis, Maurice Wallace, whoever was directing that day. It was usually Terry or Lou or Matt. And it would be, you know, 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Mic cue, go. And right at like 2 seconds, Coop would say the most outrageous things in my ear that he knew would make me laugh. And his goal was to get me to absolutely not be able to read the open. And he got me a couple of times. Like, I tried desperately to... A couple of times, I literally took my earpiece away from my ear and let it just kind of dangle there because I couldn't take it. And I'm going to miss that desperately. I love that man. He is spectacular.
Well, he could still call you or text you with one of those outlandish things.
He could. He could. But I have voices in my head, I like to say. One voice is Danny Zetterman. One voice is Chris Black. And one voice was always Tom Cooper. And so, Coop, I just wanted to start that by saying so many people have reached out on social media. Love you, man. You're the best. Now, baseball last night, I'm like, that's it. Stressful day, done. I'm going to drink some bourbon, and I am going to relax. My wife wasn't home, and I put on a comfortable T-shirt that I just got. Danny, it said Magic City. They have the best wings in the Atlanta area.
You're helping put some women through college, Cap.
Exactly.
It's just philanthropy.
Exactly. You know that some of them are trying to pay their way through med school.
I mean, if not all of them. If
exactly.
not all of them.
That's, Danny, don't you think most of the people that work at Magic City are, they're there because they're trying to pay their way through med school.
At least that's what they'll tell you.
Correct. Law school, getting an MBA.
Yeah, it takes a lot of studying to pass the bar.
And I've heard the wings are sensational. So I'm like, I'm going to get a T-shirt to honor those wings and thighs and legs and whatever else. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Baseball last night, both teams, as I said, got their head kicked in. And that's going to happen. Now, back to work this weekend. And if you're a Cubs player, how nervous are you to take the field against a team that had 13 positive COVID tests? Now, again, you're going to be missing Yadi Molina and Paul DeJong and Carlos Martinez. They all tested positive, so they won't be playing. That doesn't mean that it's a layup game to win because the Orioles just got swept by the Marlins, who's got guys that literally were playing in independent league ball, and they called them and said, you want to play in the major leagues? We need some people to fill our roster out. And they went out and swept. So anything can happen. White Sox had a rough day, but the real problem for the White Sox last night was Eloy Jimenez just, wow, he is not very good defensively. Here's what it sounded like.
Into left field, Eloy going back on it at the warning track, now coming back in, and it bounces off the turf. That's a fair ball. Eloy gets tangled up in the netting, and Yelich is to third. He's coming around third on his way home, and he's inside the park with a home run.
Well, unfortunately, Eloy would tell you that he probably should have had that. And he went diving into the net, which is never a good idea, but the netting did save his season right here. He just misses it. It is clearly a fair ball. Then it hits off the netting. Eloy goes into the netting, and it's an inside-the-park home run.
Inside the park, Yelich said after, it's one of the three easiest inside-the-park home runs in the history of the sport.
I hate to be that guy, and I'm not trying to be an ass right now to Sox fans.
Uh-huh.
But when I watch Eloy Jimenez in the field, when I saw him do what he did yesterday as a Cub fan, I say, yes, yes. I feel better about the trade.
Right.
I feel better about it. Because, listen, this year we have a DH, right, in the National League. The Cubs have a DH.
Yep.
But in normal years, we don't have a DH. There is no place on the field for Eloy Jimenez
don't
to play.
Don't say that because Southside Tim is going to be absolutely screaming in his kitchen. Got a cup of coffee going, yeah, preach, Danny. Tell that idiot behind the mic.
I'm telling you what. Listen, Jose Quintana is not what we traded for. He's a fine pitcher. He's been serviceable. He cuts his hands washing dishes. Now we don't really have a role for him. Whatever. But when Eloy Jimenez is out in the field looking like literally a chicken running around with his head cut off, giving up the easiest inside-of-the-park home run in the history of baseball, deep down inside, I say, yes, yes, There's nowhere for him to play on the north side.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Look, EO, you're a White Sox fan. Unabashed. Avowed. And you said to me this morning, just eat the money to Edwin Encarnacion and just make Aloy the DH.
Encarnacion only signed for the year, mm-hmm. so that contract's even prorated down more because of the short schedule. He's going to hurt himself. Like, he's at some point going to pop a knee. Like, running into the, like, if you watched him awkwardly trip over the fence and fall into the netting yesterday, you're just waiting for something where he's going to be out for a season. His bat's way too valuable. Just throw him in the DH at this point.
Yeah, he's an amazing hitter and a super teammate, great guy. But man, oh man, not good defensively. 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones to Rideshare Rob in Wooddale. What's up, RSR?
Cap, you made me get emotional last night. Let me start with that. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
I've called because I want to talk about how stupid baseball is.
Why?
I took an afternoon off a couple days ago. I said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch some day baseball on Major League Baseball Network. Well, you know what? No baseball. No day baseball. Flip over to NBA TV. They got games on from 12:30 on. I don't understand baseball, which everybody says is a dying sport, dying sport. How do they not figure out we need to have a game on every day, every afternoon, so whomever is home can sit back and watch it, maybe get reinvented into the game, maybe start liking it again? I don't see how they miss that opportunity.
I think there's something to do with they wanted to only play at night for the heat and for whatever effect it has on the virus, all of it. I think that's why, and they didn't want to have, well, you play on Monday at 1:30, on Tuesday at 7:10, and on Wednesday it's a day. The players have said they want a more consistent starting time, and plus limited TV, more money at night.
Very true, Cap. Very true, but I just think they're a little short-sighted that they could have worked something out to have a couple, at least every few games, a day game on. And the money part really aggravates me because I think that is really foolish that you're not thinking long term. Anyways, Cap, love to you and yours. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You're the man. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, okay?
Always. Be well.
You got it. There's Rideshare Rob, the P1. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Dan Weederer, who's been part of all these Bears Zoom calls, and bunch of coaches and players have been speaking over the last few days. He'll join us at 10, and then we'll preview the hockey game with Adam Burrish at 10:35 today. So looking forward to that. We'll talk baseball with Russell Dorsey. 312-332-3776. Is Anthony Rizzo the best leader in Chicago sports? And if he's not, who is it? Next.
Miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000, with Danny Zetterman and Eric Ostrowski in for Christopher Black, Christopher Emmanuel Black. He is working the afternoon show today with Adam A. Abdallah. 312-332-3776. So a little birdie, and I saw Matt wants to jump in, who calls all the time. A little birdie reached out to me late last night, Danny. My phone is ringing last night. I'm like, who's calling me this late? And it was somebody who's wildly connected in Major League Baseball, works in the game. He said, hey, you didn't get this from me?
Should we just call this guy Leo?
Leo?
Leo.
We could call him Leo. Leo called and said, don't be shocked if Quintana gets traded. I said, what? Who's trading for that guy? He said, I'm just saying, what if you could get yourself something and you had a team that happened to be in the same city where he had success and, oh, I don't know, maybe they can give you a bullpen arm and they can get a starter because their rotation's taking some serious hits. Rodon, Reynaldo Lopez, Michael Kopech all out. So it's nothing close. Don't go running to social media. Oh, my God, they're going to make a trade. Just don't be shocked if that happens.
So you're suggesting a trade back?
Yes, I would trade him back in a second.
But we're not getting Eloy back, the Cubs. We're going to get somebody for the bullpen.
Yeah, I think a fair deal is Aaron Bummer and Leury García for Q.
Aaron Bummer, more valuable than Quintana in today's
kidding.
Baseball.
I'm kidding.
Y'all want Jace Fry?
No.
We'll take Q for Jace Fry.
Hard pass. Hard pass. I'll take Evan Marshall. Give me Evan Marshall.
He's valuable. That's got something. The white that kind of fits a need on both sides.
Yeah. So I don't think anything's going to go down right now, but it wouldn't shock me if at the deadline that happened. Very little money that you have to take on in a prorated season, and his contract's up the end of the year. Yeah, that I would not be shocked if something ever happened. But again, nothing is. It's not like they're having these high level discussions. It's just something worth monitoring. That's all I'm saying. Matt's in River North. Hey, Matt, what's up, Sparkles?
I was thinking that last night too. Trade Quintana back. You always pitch better on the south side. I wouldn't expect much back for him, but like you said, Evan Marshall or maybe one of their young arms out of the bullpen. I also think, you know, you always have David Haan bragging about the Sox pitching depth. I can't count Gio as pitching depth. What you saw from Gio last night is what you're going to get every time out. You know, I mean, he's going to be out of baseball at the end of the season. So Quintana's better than he is as a starter. And it would help the White Sox out, help the Cubs out. And I don't think the Cubs are giving up much. And, you know, I agree. I also think, you know, I wouldn't mess with the Cubs' rotation. And if they can get a bullpen arm, why are they hesitant just to make Rowan Wick the closer? I mean, I just give it to them.
That's what I would do. I would just say, all right, right now you're the closer. And see if he can get the job done. Pitch with the pressure off. He's been given the job, but, you know, a fairly short leash. Because I watched Kimbrel last night. And again, his velocity's good. It is. But something's going on because when he throws his breaking stuff and it moves, they are spitting at it. They're not even at all trying to think about swinging at it.
They know it's not going to be in the zone.
He's tipping, as some in the game have suggested. And they know what's coming.
I got two other things for you.
Yep.
One, I got a petition of names. I want to send it to NBC Sports because I'm furious about the Chicago Sports Talk Live being off. Would that help? Would you tell me who to send it to? I know of at least 100 people who are pissed off.
Well, you're a good man. I appreciate it. Look, it's four, as I like to say, it's 47 levels above my pay grade. I just show up.
I do want to make my voice heard, though. I mean, I pay for it to watch it, you know.
Right.
And if they keep cutting out sports on that station, I'm not going to watch the station. And the other thing is, you know, I watched the Marquee Network and they had Mark Grace on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then for some reason, they had the game on Fox Sports last night and they had AJ and whoever. I felt like I was sent down a JV. That's a discrepancy to me. You know, like it was just. You know, DeShays and Mark Grace together were as good as Remy and Eckersley, if you ever watched a Red Sox game.
Yeah, I have. They got a good broadcast.
Yeah, and I just think, is there a chance Grace is going to be a regular on that?
I don't know, because right now nobody's traveling, so they're all doing it from their house.
Right, so it's easy for them.
Look, I'll be honest with you, and appreciate your call, Matt. Have a great weekend, okay? Appreciate
you
your support. Danny, I don't know. You're a Cub fan. Eric's not. I've been watching a lot of their coverage because I watch the games.
Marquee, I've been watching a ton.
Len and JD are really, really good.
Great.
And they're comfortable. Like, it's my soundtrack of my summer. I don't need Mark Grace, and I like Mark a lot. He's a great dude, and he was a hell of a player. He's a good guy. I don't need Mark Grace from his kitchen, Lou Piniella from his dining room, Carlos Pena
Carlos Pena thing drives me nuts.
Yeah, he's in his mansion in Florida. I don't need that.
Me neither.
Let Len and JD call the baseball game. Like, it's trying to be too much, too cute. Oh, look at the roster of names we got. Yeah, actually, you don't really need them. Ryan Dempster's here. Great. Love Demp. That's it. I don't need guys from their houses. I don't. Just give me the game and give me Len and JD. It's like you come home and you get out of your work clothes and you put on this comfortable pair of shorts and you're like, ah, I can relax. Let me pour a drink and watch baseball. That's Len and JD. That's Benetti and Stone. It is the soundtrack of my summer. They don't need 787 different analysts. They just don't. Especially when they're not there. You don't need a three-man booth. Don't overthink it. Just my thoughts. 312-332-3776 was not a good night to be Tyler Chatwood last night.
2-2. Breaking ball lifted down the left field line. Schwarber's going back on it. He turns and watches it hit off the foul pole. Two-run home run with Merrifield. And the Royals lead it 3-0. Franco hits it hard to left. Schwarber turns. That ball's gone. Franco with a home run. The hits just keep coming for Kansas City. The extra base hits keep coming. That ball is lifted. Left center field and deep. He might have just done that. Oh, you bet he did, A.J. Brzezinski. On cue, his third home run of the season. And that is going to do it for Tyler Chatwood, who's off to such a good start this season. But the Royals, 7 runs on 11 hits.
It was not a good night for Tyler Chatwood. He got his head kicked in. That's going to happen. That will happen. Now, that, for those out there that are saying, put Quintana right back in the rotation, you get a bad start again out of him, or you get a bad start or two out of Alec Mills, it will exacerbate the question mark around those guys, and it will pave the way to get Quintana back into the rotation. He's not a closer. Gordon Wittenmeyer had a really good article on NBCSportsChicago.com. Really good and well worth the read. Quintana could be answer to Cubs' Kimbrel problem. And what he meant by that is, and so many people read the headline and went, really? Quintana is the closer? That's not what he wrote. Read the article. He said, take Tyler Chatwood because he throws 98. He's got good movement. He's off to a good start despite last night. And make Tyler Chatwood the closer or a high-leverage eighth-inning guy and put Quintana into the rotation. I'm okay with that. Again, I'm not a huge Quintana guy, but he's a competent major league pitcher. You just overpaid for him.
We're ready to give up on Tyler Chatwood already?
No.
I mean, his two first outings were phenomenal.
But he's saying, what do you do with Quintana? You can't make him a long man.
He got Wally pipped. Sorry.
So make Chatwood the closer. That's what Gordon's saying.
Yeah, but my point, I understand what Gordon's saying. My point is Tyler Chatwood has started 3 times. In 2 of the 3 games, he was outstanding.
Correct.
I'm not ready to make him the closer just because Craig Kimbrel stinks to give Q a spot in the rotation at this point. Listen, Tyler Chatwood earned another start. Tyler Chatwood earned the benefit of the doubt. And coming from me, who after last year was ready to mail him away for a 6-pack of beer, it means something. So let's not rush to take Tyler Chatwood out of a rotation that's the best in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Just because we don't have a place for Q. That's a good problem to have.
It could potentially cause, right now you have a closer issue. Mm-hmm. Now it could cause, and that's like, and the rotation is strong. All of a sudden you mess with the rotation that's strong. It's messing with something that's not broken. Like you could create 2 problems when you just had one.
But are you not maximizing the value that Jose Quintana provides, at least as a competent major league arm? Like, he's not a stumble bum. He's just, you overpaid for him. It's like you walked into the car dealer and went, hey, that 2017 Buick Regal right there, I'll give you $160,000 for it. That's what you did. It's a nice car.
Yeah, but that mistake's been made already.
Agreed.
So at this point, to make more mistakes because you made a mistake to just... So you're making a mistake with Jose Quintana by pulling Tyler Chatwood just to justify the original mistake. It's like when we talk about the Bears. Is Mitch Trubisky the starter because he's earning the right to be the starter? Or is he the starter because Ryan Pace really messed up, passed on two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and now he has to be? So, listen, Q's out of the rotation. He hurt his hand. Tyler Chatwood stepped in. Alec Mills has stepped in. They're pitching really well. Sorry, Q. You're going to be the long man in the bullpen for a little while.
And you're right. But... are we maximizing the value everybody provides? Like,
but what's more important, maximizing the value or winning games? Because right now the Cubs are winning games. So if I'm the Cubs, if I'm Theo Epstein, I'm Jed Hoyer, as a Cub fan, I'm just happy we're winning games.
Yeah.
Forget maximizing the value. Whatever. You know, it's like we might not be maximizing his value, but we're winning games. And at the end of the day, the goal is to win a World Series. So if we win a World Series and we don't maximize Quintana's value, I'll be able to sleep at night. And I'm sure Theo and Jed will as well.
Like,
especially when you watch the guy they traded for play the outfield and not be able to do it.
Like, you're the best producer in the radio world. You, God forbid, had something that sidelined you. You didn't know how to wash a wine glass. And you were sidelined for 3 months. And Eric stepped into the void and is doing a really good job in Danny's role. Well, hold on a second. Maybe Eric, there's something else Eric could do that's crucial at the station because, well, Danny, all we're going to be able to do is use you on Sunday night overnights to run the board. Well, hold on a second. Danny's got more value than that. Well, Eric, why should we take Eric out? He's doing a really good job. Well, guess what? There's another role that Eric could do that is equally important, and we put Danny back in his rightful role. You know what I mean?
I understand the analogy, but real life analogies don't always apply to sports. Like, the way things work in the sports world don't always work that way.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
And the end of the day, it's winning. And the Cubs right now are hot. I mean, obviously they didn't look that way last night, but at some point the Royals were bound to win a game and the Cubs were bound to lose a game. And it's fine. It gave David Ross a chance to pull some of the starters and rest the guys. And it just seems as if we shouldn't rush to get Jose Quintana back in the rotation the second he's ready. Let's take our time. Let's pace ourselves. Let's make a smart decision.
By the way, 4 weeks to the MLB trade deadline. 4 weeks. In that 4 weeks, will the Cubs acquire a bullpen arm? Will the White Sox go out and get a starter? Could said starter be Jose Quintana right here in the same city, where the two teams can make another trade? It's an interesting question. But the question that I really want to ask is, and I want your input, 312-332-3776, is Anthony Rizzo the best leader in the city? David Ross on his leadership.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN_Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The best leader in Chicago sports. I have my thoughts. I'll share those in a moment. But David Ross was asked about the leadership qualities of his all-star and gold glove winning first baseman, Anthony Rizzo.
Riz is a big part and been a staple around here a long time. He's just got a real infectious personality when he's in a good headspace and doing well. He's always one to learn and grow ever since I've been around him. And it seems like he's got a really good outlook on this season. He's got a good outlook on his teammates and having good conversations in meetings. The meetings that I sit in on really giving some veteran input. I mean, he's just continued to mature. And I don't know how much you guys get to interact with Riz outside of the field, but he's always interested in everybody having a good time and making sure things are light and fun. And his personality and his smile and his energy is really infectious when he's in that space.
Jason Hayward, who's one of the great leaders in Chicago sports, talked about Anthony Rizzo's leadership.
He's the same guy. He's Tony. You know, he's the face of this franchise, one of the faces of this city in Chicago. You know, he, for one, he would lead by example when it comes to work ethic. Every day does his thing and focuses on what he has to do as an individual. But I think even more now, I would say, I guess, you know, to add on to it, is that he's being a little bit more vocal in areas like, you know, having at bats and approach, you know, just speaking up to make us all aware. Like, he's not calling anyone out, but just saying, hey guys, this is how I try to approach this. And we all kind of went around and said in spring training, you know, who's a bat do we love? Who's a bat would you like to have up there, you know, in a big spot in the game? And it's his mindset. So I think for one thing, when it comes to that as a group and gelling as hitters, we've all been together now, obviously, for a few years. So I think that's an area he has added on to. But as far as him being himself and keeping things light, that's Tony being Tony.
That's Tony being Tony. So we know Anthony. I get to know him in a way that most don't. Since he came here in 2012, he and I have had a very good relationship. And then we signed him to be here on this show. Danny, when did we start that? 2016,
I think. Are we on, our third year or fourth year with him?
I think it's 16, 17, 18. This 16. This is his fifth year.
The great Randall T. Merkin says it started in 2016.
Randy Merkin, you're number one, kid. Riz has been with us since 2016. He started coming on toward the end of 15 when I came to this station in that September. And then we signed him to a deal, and he's been exclusive to us for 5 years. And I get to MC his charity event. He's awesome. He is awesome. The cook-off for cancer is amazing. But that guy, I can't tell you how many times he will say, hey, can you do the show this time? Nope, I'm going to Lurie Children's Hospital, or I'm at this food bank, or I'm at this school, and we'll work around his schedule. Because he literally, on game days, tries to give back to the community almost every day.
What's great about him? So he comes out on Tuesday. So the day before, I'll shoot a text, mm-hmm. and I'll give time options. Mm-hmm. And Anthony will pick which time works best for him. So, you know, I give three or four time options because I know he does charity. I know he's got to work out and stuff, so it can't be a locked-in set time like mm-hmm. we'd like. And he'll pick a time. So let's say, okay, Danny, I'll call tomorrow at 11 a.m. At 10:58. The phone rings. He's never once been late. He's always a minute or two early. And that's how you know his leadership and his dedication to things, because we have guests, and let's be honest, sometimes I've got to hunt him down. Like, you agreed to come on. Where are you? Answer the phone. But not Anthony Rizzo. He's always on time, if not early, ready to go when he makes a commitment.
Yeah, he's a really, really wonderful person. I've gotten to know his family. His wife, Emily, is awesome. His mom and dad and his brother, sensational. They're all of it. But is he a better leader than Jonathan Toews, who was captain at age 20 or 21, has been the captain of three Stanley Cup winning teams? He may not be as visible in the community, and he does his share, but nobody's at Rizzo's level in the community. But does that make him the single best leader?
Well, we should leave the leadership to what it means to that team. I mean, what Rizzo does with charity is an amazing thing, but you can't hold it against other leaders that they're not doing things in the community, or maybe they're just not publicizing those as much.
Yeah, you know, so like in the clubhouse.
Correct. I think it should be their leadership peers on the team is what we're talking about here, Cap.
Correct. So if I had to vote for the best leader in Chicago sports, I can't go anywhere other than Jonathan Toews. I can't.
You know, when we started talking about this morning in the morning meeting, I started to go through the team so I could have a list so I can compare and contrast who the best leader is. Clearly, it's Rizzo on the Cubs. Clearly, it's Toews on the Blackhawks. Is it Tim Anderson on the South Side? Is he the leader?
I think it's Jose Abreu on the South Side. That's who I think is the leader, the one most people in that clubhouse look up to.
Okay, and he's an awesome guy. Awesome.
Do you agree with that? Is Abreu the leader on the South Side?
I don't know, because here's my question, and I'm just asking the question. Can someone, and I haven't interacted enough with him, does he speak enough English to interact and control the clubhouse if he doesn't have a good grasp of the English language. He can be great with the Spanish-speaking players. That's my question. Is he the number one leader in there?
Right. Without being in there, you can't.
You can't say it.
From the outside looking in, they all revere him. So you would think that the communication is clear.
I've heard James McCann is really, really.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
Really good. Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson is, for me, he's the number one leader in there. That's what I believe. He leads by example. He's vocal. I would probably say it's Tim Anderson. Now, in talking with a couple people over there, because they have done an amazing job in Cuba. Amazing. Johan Moncada, now they acquired him in a trade, but they identified him. They were in the hunt to sign him when he went to Boston, and then they were able to get him in the deal for Chris Sale. To get Luis Robert and beat out everybody else in baseball, that speaks to the relationships that Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams, and the White Sox have developed in Cuba. So they have the Mini Minoso connection, who was revered down there. Jose Abreu, Moncada, Luis Robert. They've done a sensational job at identifying players and then putting them into a scenario, a situation where they're comfortable coming here. I mean, a lot of guys don't want to come to a cold weather city. They don't want to play baseball the end of March, April, most of May, where it's freezing around here. A lot of guys have told me that. Starlin Castro used to go, dude, how do you do this? How do you deal with all this icy coldness? And then he got acclimated to it and made it work. So I would love to, the next time that we have Tim Anderson on, I'm going to ask him who he thinks is the best leader in there. Does he think he's the guy tasked with that? Be a great question.
Yeah, I feel like he, when it comes to like the energy and that type of stuff, I think like he's the one that brings that day in and day out. But I don't know what, I think Hope Abreu is the one that they look to for situations, for conversations, for how to be a pro. I think he's an important person in that clubhouse for that.
Now, when David Ross was playing, was he the best leader? Because that was not the same Anthony Rizzo as 5 years ago.
And can a role player be your top leader, your top dog, your alpha,
right,
whatever,
like
in the locker
room? Taves is going to the Hall of Fame. So I think it's a really legitimate question. 312-332-3776. Who is the best leader in Chicago sports? I think it's Taves, and I think it's pretty obvious. So if we left him to the side, who's number two? That's the question. Hey, this hour brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
So who's the leader of the Bears? First guess for me, and we'll ask this to Dan Wiederer when he joins us on the show. What's he coming up at, 10, Danny?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, the great Dan Wiederer. I texted him and said, who is the leader of the locker room? Not the best player, the leader. Because some people will in the Cubs room will say it's Rizzo. Others will say it's Jason Hayward. And he's not the best player. Great defender, average hitter. Phenomenal leader. Phenomenal.
What he did in 2016 during the rain delay proves that.
Correct. And everyone bought into what he was saying. And so I texted Dan and said, who is the best leader? He said, might be 59. That's Danny Trevathan. And that was my first guess. Danny Trevathan. He said, it might be 39 or 12. That's Eddie Jackson or Allen Robinson. Honorable mention, 65. That's Cody Whitehair. That's a really good group. I said 10, And I'm not joking.
Well, he does sweep up the locker
That's
room.
That's right.
Anybody that sweeps up the locker room's got to be a leader.
Dustpan in his pocket.
And a number of his teammates have come out and said he's been the guy throughout the pandemic organizing our workouts. He's incredibly detailed, and he's the first guy in the building and the last guy to leave. Now, I know everyone's going to go, doesn't matter, he sucks. I get it. He's got to play better. To have people follow, they got to look and go, I'm following that guy. And he hasn't played well enough to earn that. I get all that. Dan's response, Mitch is good as a leader, but you have to play well to have followers. He's right. He said 9 will be a great leader too. Same deal. If he's the backup quarterback, they're not really leading from the bench. You got to play.
And when you're like, at what point when Mitch Trubisky is motivating you, being that leader, do you roll your eyes and be like, do it on the field for me then, Mitch? Like, if Ray Lewis wasn't as good as Ray Lewis was, players would have rolled their eyes so much at his antics.
Well, because
he was who he was, it made it. So, like, in football, it may be a little different because you need to have that alpha on the field as well to be a leader.
Like, when I was covering the team in the locker room, it was Olin Krutz, and it wasn't close.
He was good, though. He was also a Pro Bowl talent.
And if you went in and said to any player, and I did this, whose locker room is it? Every single one of them said, you think I'm going to say Urlacher, or you think I'm going to say Alex Brown. Those are great leaders. This is Olin's locker room, period. And that's why I love Olin Krutz. I am the biggest Olin Krutz fan. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. He's a multi-time All-Pro or Pro Bowler. He is awesome, and he's a wonderful person. And that guy showed up every day and played his ass off.
I will say,
I think he's one of the great leaders our city has had.
I will say, I didn't know Cody Whitehair had those qualities. That was from Weedaber. That surprised me. I did not know that Cody Whitehair was considered one of those guys.
There you go. So we'll talk about that with Dan Weedaber and get the latest as he's been part of all these Zoom calls. Let's go to Derek and Wheeling. Hey, Derek, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap, how's it going? Love the show.
All good, kid. We appreciate you.
First of all, hats off to Anthony Rizzo. Being a great human being is what matters more than anything. But who should take responsibility for the Cubs' underperformance in 2018 and 2019? If Rizzo's the leader, then isn't it on his doorstep that it didn't work out?
Say that again. So who should take responsibility for what?
For the Cubs' underperformance in 2018 and 2019. If Daniel Murphy and Cole Hamels don't show up in August 2018, that they're never making the playoffs. And they certainly didn't do it last year, so whose responsibility?
But you're only grading the end result. I mean, in 2018, that was a playoff team, albeit the wild card. I get it, and they got knocked out. But you could still be an amazing, amazing leader, and your team doesn't win a championship. Like, some of the best coaches that I've ever watched when I was scouting or coaching were high school coaches. We don't think about who's the best coach. We go, well, it's got to be a guy in the NBA, or it's got to be Tom Izzo or Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski, because they're at that level, or Nick Saban in football, or Dabo. Some of the coaches at lower levels are as good or better. So it doesn't mean if your team doesn't win that you failed as a leader. You failed in performance.
Yeah, follow up with you. If the Cubs, and I hope they do, have great success this year, is it, and Ross is back, is that an indictment of the Cubs? They can't win without David Ross.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Not an indictment at all. Don't agree with that one at all. Derek, thanks, man. Have a good weekend. 312-332-3776. Tommy's in Plainfield. Tom!
Hey, you know, to shoot down what that guy just said, Anthony Rizzo, because 2019 they didn't win. That's like saying Walter Payton wasn't a great leader in the 70s on the Bears team around him. You know, Walter Payton was a fantastic leader with that. So just because the team doesn't perform doesn't mean that your leadership isn't there. A lot of times talent isn't there, and leadership can't overcome lack of talent, you know, in regards to that. But I also want to bring up a guy with the Hawks, very quiet, but he's got tons of respect in the locker room and around is Duncan Keith.
Absolutely.
I think he's the quiet leader, but does it on the ice where it's the most respected. It's obviously, Taze does it every way, and he's by far. But Duncan Keith gets my vote as a 1A.
And sometimes, like, appreciate your call and have a great weekend, yeah. Tom. Guys will, John Lester's not a vocal get guys together and, you know, throw a guy against the locker because he didn't run a ball out. But those guys, absolutely 100%, look at his work ethic, how he conducts himself as a pro, and he says things when he has to. He's an amazing leader. But is a leader only the vocal guy? That's the big question. 312-332-3776. Dan Wiederer talks Bears in exactly 2 minutes.